Ever feel like the future of driving is kind of, well, a blurry picture?
Yeah, like trying to parallel park in a snowstorm.
Exactly. And you're not alone, trust me.
So that's why we're diving into this whole world of the UNES.
And their take on, what is it, driver control assistance systems?
DCAS for
No,
sure.
DCS. You've sent us some really fascinating stuff on this. Like, we've got a whole presentation on the topic.
And even the official UNES document with their proposed regulations.
So buckle up, everyone, because we're about to make sense of it all.
It's going to be interesting.
Definitely interesting.
Especially if you're, one of those people who loves debating, like, is this a self-driving car or what?
Oh, yeah, all those gray areas.
Exactly. We're talking lane keeping, emergency braking,
I think
the
they're all.
whole shebang.
So, to kind of set the stage here, I love that cat meme from the presentation.
Oh, yeah, the one eyeing the fishbowl.
That's the one. Imagine that cat is like a Tesla owner who's just dying to take autopilot for a spin.
Itching for it.
Totally. And the units, they're like the watchful owner in that situation.
Setting those boundaries, making sure things don't get out of hand.
Exactly. Setting the ground rules for how those systems can actually be used out there on the roads.
And here's the thing that I find so interesting. So this isn't just some European thing.
Right. Even though the name might sound like it.
It does, doesn't it? But we're talking about a United Nations body, the United Nations Economic Commission for Europe, to be precise.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
It is.
But so that kind of raises some big questions then, right?
Yep.
About how these regulations could actually end up impacting drivers all over the world, not just in Europe.
Globally.
Globally. Like, have you ever wondered how car manufacturers can even design cars that are street legal in so many different countries?
It's mind-boggling when you think about
It really is. And the UNIS is a big part of the answer,
it. It's a
right?
huge part of it.
Because by setting these international standards, they're kind of like, what? They're making life easier for manufacturers?
Streamlining things for sure.
And they could even impact what we as consumers, what we end up paying for these high-tech cars.
Absolutely, because that cost gets passed down to the buyer.
It all comes back around.
Always. And speaking of those standards, the document you sent, it gets into the real nitty-gritty of it all. Like, we're talking very specific regulations for these driver control assistance systems.
The DCS we were talking about.
Exactly. And this is where that distinction between just assisting the driver and, full-on autonomy is so, so important.
Yeah, where you draw that line.
The UNES is very, very clear on this. These systems are there to help, to lend a hand.
Not to turn your car into like a driverless robo taxi.
Exactly. Not yet, anyway.
Okay, so let's break down some of these regulations then.
Let's just.
Because of this document, it gets pretty deep into the weeds. Like, they're talking about stuff like lane keeping assist.
Which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is. So they're basically saying that ideally, this system should prevent you from drifting out of your lane, which sounds pretty good in theory,
Like the
right?
perfect world, yeah.
Right. But then they go on to talk about like maximum lateral acceleration limits and how the system should handle real world stuff.
Like what happens when the lane markings are faded or there's debris in the road.
Yeah, all the messy realities of actually driving.
Yeah,
So it gets
congrats.
really, really specific.
It does. And something I found really interesting is how they approach lane changes.
Okay, tell me more about that.
So they're proposing that these DCAS should be able to perform emergency lane changes.
Whoa, like on their own.
Yeah, if it means bringing the vehicle to a safe stop. So imagine like a scenario where the driver, for whatever reason, is incapacitated.
They can't take control, right? They can't. The system could actually swerve to avoid an accident, potentially save lives.
That's a lot of responsibility, though, to hand over to a computer, don't you think?
It is, and that is exactly where the UNESCO's focus on driver engagement comes in.
Okay, so they're not just thinking about what the technology can do.
Right. They're thinking about how to prevent drivers from becoming like overly reliant on it.
Because if your car is constantly adjusting for every little thing,
Every drift, every lane change.
you might start paying less attention, right? Like, oh, the car's got this.
And that's a recipe for disaster. The units, they want to avoid that at all costs.
So it's this real balancing act, isn't it, between safety and, well, human nature. It is. And this is where that presentation you sent, it gets really, really interesting because it highlights both the potential benefits and the drawbacks of this whole UNES approach.
The good and the bad.
Exactly.
So the presentation, it's like kind of painting this picture of a balancing act, right?
Real tightrope walk.
Totally. But what does that actually look like in practice, like when you get down to it?
Right, when you get into the nitty-gritty.
let's go back to that UNESCO document for a sec.
Okay.
And unpack some of the specific benefits, but then also like the potential downsides that they're trying to address with their whole approach to DCAS.
Yeah, because they lay out some pretty compelling arguments on the benefit side for sure.
Okay, so hit me with those.
Well, for one thing, having these like standardized regulations across a whole bunch of different countries, mm-hmm. that makes life way easier for car manufacturers.
Okay, that makes sense.
It streamlines production.
You know, yeah.
Makes this more efficient.
Right.
And that could even lower costs, which is something we can all get behind.
Always good news for the consumer.
Exactly. Imagine if, like, every single country had its own, you know, crazy rules about how lane keeping assist had to work.
Oh, the chaos.
Total chaos. Car companies would go nuts trying to design for all that.
Yeah.
We'd probably end up paying like a fortune for all that added complexity.
Exactly. It would trickle down for sure.
Yeah, it totally would.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even more important than the cost savings is the potential impact on safety.
Okay. Yeah. That's the big one.
By setting these minimum safety standards for how these systems have to perform.
Yeah.
The UNIS is trying to make sure that all those DCS out there, no matter who makes them.
Right, right.
They all meet a certain bar for, like, reliability, how well they actually work.
So it's kind of like a safety net for everyone on the road, not just the person behind the wheel of the fancy car with all the bells and whistles.
Exactly. Everyone benefits from that collective increase in safety.
Oh, okay. I like that.
And this is where their focus on driver engagement, it becomes even more important.
Okay.
Because the UNIS, they're not naive. They know that even with the most amazing, you know, advanced safety features,
yeah,
human error is still going to be a factor.
People are going to people.
Exactly. So their regulations, they're constantly emphasizing this need for drivers to, you know, stay alert,
right,
stay engaged, even when the car is like doing some of the driving for you.
Because it's so easy to become complacent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with these systems that are designed to make driving easier, more relaxing, you know.
It's true. It lulls you into this false sense of security.
Exactly.
But the UNES, they're trying to stay one step ahead of that.
Okay, so that's the good stuff. But let's flip the script for a sec.
Okay.
What about those drawbacks we talked about earlier?
Right.
The presentation, it mentioned this concern about, like, stifling innovation.
Right, like putting a damper on things.
So how could these regulations actually end up slowing down progress in this whole field?
Well, the worry is that, you know, by setting these super specific standards,
yeah,
the UNES might inadvertently, like, box in car manufacturers and tech companies.
Okay.
You know, discourage them from pursuing more, I don't know, radical solutions.
Like, out-of-the-box thinking, because they're so focused on meeting the letter of the law, so to speak. It's
right.
Like saying, okay, lane keeping assist, it has to work this way.
Right.
And so everyone pours all their energy into perfecting that one approach.
Instead of exploring other possibilities.
Yeah, possibilities that might actually be more effective or, you know,
more groundbreaking, more innovative.
Exactly. And then there's also that whole question of speed, right?
You know, yeah, the automotive industry is, you know, it's notorious for being a bit slow moving.
It takes a while to get those wheels turning, huh?
It really does.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you've got the UNES, which is this, you know, large bureaucratic organization.
Right.
Trying to get a whole bunch of different countries to agree on stuff.
Herding cats, basically.
Pretty much. So you can see how, even with the best of intentions,
yeah,
these regulations, they could create this lag.
A lag between?
Between what's technologically possible, like what we could be doing,
yeah,
and what's actually allowed on the roads.
Because it takes so long for those regulations to catch up with the technology.
Exactly. It's like driving with the parking brake on, you know.
Makes you wonder if there's a way to, I don't know, to balance those two things, you know.
Right.
To have regulations that make sure everything's safe and consistent,
mm-hmm,
but without, like, completely killing innovation at the same time.
Right. You do want to stifle creativity.
Exactly.
And to be fair, the document, it kind of hints at this tension, too.
Oh, how so?
Well, they repeatedly talk about the importance of, you know, regular reviews, updates to these regulations. So they're acknowledging, at least, that technology is always changing.
Right.
And that they need to be, like, flexible.
To keep up.
Adaptable. Exactly.
That's got to be tough, though, right? Because they're trying to predict the future. In a way.
They are.
They're looking at where DCS technology is today.
Right now.
And trying to create this framework that will, you know, not only address today's challenges, but
yeah,
also the challenges of, like, 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Like, challenges we don't even know about yet.
Exactly. And that's where it gets really, really interesting.
Tell me more.
So this document that we've been like really digging into, it's mainly focused on how DCS interacts with, traditional vehicles.
Right, like in a world where it's still mostly humans behind the wheel.
Exactly. But what happens when these systems, they get even more, I don't know, sophisticated?
Right, when they get closer to that, like true autonomy.
Yeah, what happens when we start seeing more and more self-driving cars on the roads?
And not just interacting with, human drivers, but with each other.
Car communication, the whole thing.
That's the billion-dollar question right there.
And is the UNESCO ready for that?
Well, they definitely see it coming. I mean, they even touch on it briefly in the document.
They do.
Yeah, they acknowledge that there are all these potential future developments, these more advanced systems on the horizon.
Okay, so they're aware of it.
They're aware. But the question is,
Yeah.
will they be able to adapt quickly enough?
When the time comes.
Exactly, because
Yeah.
this technology is evolving at a rapid pace.
It's like we're standing at the edge of this like technological precipice.
Oh, yeah,
Right.
a total cliffhanger.
With all these amazing possibilities, but also, potential dangers if we're not careful.
Risks and
And
rewards.
the UNESCO is kind of trying to like build guardrails to guide us safely into that unknown future.
Trying to steer the ship in the right direction.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole deep dive so compelling,
It's juicy.
It is. We're not just talking about, boring technical stuff here. We're talking about the future of how we get
The
around.
future of mobility, how we, like, as a society, are going to navigate this whole new world.
So we've gone from cat's eyeing fishbowls to standing on the edge of a technological cliff, huh?
Quite a journey.
It really is. But this whole discussion about, the future of driving with the UNESCO kind of at the wheel here.
Calling the shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really highlights something that I thought was super interesting in that presentation, those pros and cons we were talking about.
Yeah, the two sides of the coin.
Because it's like they're trying to thread a needle,
It's
right?
a tough balancing act, for sure.
Big time. They want to make sure driving is safer for everyone, right?
Obviously, safety is a top priority.
And they want to encourage these cool new technologies, these
You
innovations.
don't want to stifle progress.
Exactly. But at the same time, they don't want to accidentally create a whole new set of problems.
Right, or slow things down too much.
So how do you find that sweet spot? It's
There's
tough.
no easy answer.
Okay, so let's say we're looking at these really specific regulations, right? The stuff that's actually in the document, like all those detailed requirements for lane keeping assist, lane change assist, all that.
Right, getting down to the nuts and bolts.
On the one hand, having those standards, it makes things more predictable, right?
Definitely. For drivers, I mean.
Yeah, for all of us out there on the road, no matter what kind of car you're driving, you have a pretty good idea of how these systems are going to work.
Right. You're not surprised when your car does something unexpected.
Exactly. And that's huge for safety, especially as we see more and more cars with these systems on the road.
It's like having a common language for cars almost.
Oh, I like that. So they're not constantly misinterpreting each other's actions.
Exactly. They're all playing by the same rules.
Okay, but then there's the flip side, right? Because does that same standardization, does it make it harder for companies to come up with really like groundbreaking, innovative stuff?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you always have that trade-off.
Right. What are we sacrificing for that consistency?
Well, on the one hand, you've got that potential for like better safety, more consistency in the short term, but then you might be, without realizing it, limiting the potential for those really disruptive technologies that could totally change the game down the road.
It's a tough call. So, okay, let's say someone's listening to this, right? And they're into this stuff. And let's face it, you wouldn't be listening if you weren't. What should they be paying attention to? Like, what are the key takeaways here as this whole world of DCAS just keeps evolving?
Well, first off, it's important to remember that the UNESCO, they're just one piece of this giant puzzle.
One player in the game.
Exactly. You've got governments, manufacturers, tech companies, everybody's trying to figure this out, right?
Trying to make sense of the future of driving.
Exactly. The UNESCO is trying to set some ground rules, but it's not like they have all the answers. You know?
They're not the be-all and end-all.
Exactly.
Ah,
So,
yeah.
stay informed, keep up with the regulations, definitely,
Do your homework.
but also keep an eye on what's happening outside of those regulations. You know, like what are the tech companies doing that's maybe a little bit out there?
Pushing the boundaries.
Exactly. Because some of the most interesting developments, they're happening on the fringes where people are really pushing the limits.
I like that. So it's about looking beyond the headlines, right?
Exactly. Don't just focus on what's allowed today.
Mm.
Think about what might be possible tomorrow.
And maybe, just maybe, those crazy ideas, those cutting-edge things, maybe they'll eventually make their way into those UNIS rule books, right?
Just the hope.
And they'll end up shaping the future of driving for all of us.
It's an exciting time to be along for the ride, that's for sure.
It really is. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, talked about everything from, you know, cats and fish bowls to, well,
technological precipices.
Pretty much.
It's been quite a journey. But I think if there's one big takeaway here, it's that the UNIS, they're playing a huge role in all of this, even if you don't realize it when you're, you know, just driving to the store or whatever.
Right. It's all happening behind the scenes.
Exactly. They're kind of like this, I don't know, this unseen force that's guiding the evolution of car technology, you know?
Trying to find that balance between safety, innovation.
And our freedom to, you know, hit the open road and just drive.
Exactly. And that balancing act, it's only going to get more important as we move towards this future where humans and machines are, like, sharing the road.
More and more every day.
So the next time you see a car swerving back into its lane, or maybe making a lane change without the driver, like even touching the steering wheel.
It's a trip.
It is. Just remember, the UNISYS, they might be the reason why you didn't just witness a fender bender.
Food for thought, right?
Definitely. And remember, this is just the start of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. We're just scratching the surface here.
The future is still being written. So stay informed, stay engaged.
And buckle up.
Because it's going to be a wild ride. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of the UNIS and DCAS.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, drive safe and keep your eyes on the road and on the horizon.
See you next time.